May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. There is a story about one of the 20th century's most famous, well-known, prestigious theologians. His name was Karl Barth. He's widely considered to be one of the best theologians in church history. And he was approached once by a Baptist minister who asked him, as Baptist ministers will do, if he was saved. And he said, yes, I'm saved. And then there was a follow-up question. When were you saved, Brother Karl? When did you meet the Lord? When were you saved? And he said, I was saved in AD 33. Right? You catch his point. You catch his drift. That salvation is accomplished once and for all with Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I'd like to begin this morning by drawing your attention to the Collect of the Day. This prayer contains a wealth of theology packed into just a few lines. At first glance, we see a number of words we associate with our faith, words that we may gloss over from time to time, but are always worth thinking about and unpacking. Words such as grace, call, proclaim, good news, salvation, glory, marvelous works. We learn in this collect that we are called. We are called just as those earliest followers of Jesus were called, like Andrew was called. Come, follow me. When we are called by our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are called from one way of life, one way of being in the world, and to abundant life, a different way of being in the world. This is what another one of our words from the collect means, salvation. Salvation is deliverance, the same kind of deliverance we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. May we be delivered from evil. May we be delivered from temptation. We pray for deliverance from the wicked ways of this world, and we are called to a higher life, a higher purpose, to think and act in the ways of Christ our Lord. We are called out, called to be set apart, made holy, and called to proclaim to all people the good news of salvation. But what exactly is that good news? What does salvation or deliverance mean for us? The spiritual writer Kathleen Norris wrote a book some time ago called Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith. Norris's story parallels many of her own stories in this parish. She grew up in a more fundamentalist church, abandoned her faith altogether for many years, and then returned to that faith. Cautiously at first, but then wholeheartedly, although in a different tradition, a more liturgical tradition, one with a somewhat different approach than the one that she associated with her childhood faith. And so as she returned to her faith, she had to grapple with some of those capital letter words, those words that she had struggled with in her youth and that she wanted to redefine for herself in her newfound Christian life. Words like many of the ones I've highlighted in our collect today. And so she writes about salvation, a word that literally means deliverance, but carries with it the connotation of healing and restoration, being put back to health or being put on a good path. She tells the story of when she and her husband managed a bar in North Dakota. Her husband put up a patron one night, Jack, who was in no condition to drive home. Jack told her the story the next morning of how he had gotten caught up in a questionable group of people with very questionable business practices, but an abundance of easy money. And so inevitably, he had gotten into a situation that was completely over his head with a businessman who was showing him the ropes. As they were driving one day, they passed a car on the highway. Jack's new friend turned around abruptly, telling him that he needed to go kill that man, but that he couldn't do it at that moment because someone was with him, and so they'd have to go and wait him out. Jack, according to Norris, experienced in that horrific and frightening moment salvation. He got out of that situation immediately, knowing that the path he was on was not a good path, not a healing path, not a life-giving path. She writes, "Having turned suddenly from the path he was on, our friend Jack seemed a bit lost, but also glad that he had been able to name something as wrong and to walk away from it. He had tasted a kind of freedom and wasn't sure what to do about it except to keep telling the story." I want you to have that story in your head this morning when you hear Jesus quote the prophet Isaiah. Jesus says that he has come to liberate, to free the whole world from enslavement, poverty, brokenheartedness, and blindness. He has come to help us dislodge ourselves from lives in which we are held captive to the death-dealing and life-sucking ways of this world, to help us break out of our own self-imposed prisons. Have you been delivered from evil? Have you been freed from oppression? Have you been liberated from captivity? Have you been saved? I think back with gratitude over the times in my life that I know I was protected, watched over, cared for, when either my body or my soul was in grave danger. That is salvation. That is liberation. That is deliverance. And after that liberation comes proclamation. When we have been set free, we are eager to share the story. Norris's friend Jack told his own story not only to brag about coming so near the kind of situation from which he may have never gotten free, but also, of course, to give thanks for his salvation, to give thanks for his liberation. After the Israelites were freed from slavery, they wanted to tell the story over and over again of how God provided a way when there seemed to be no way. Indeed, they are still telling the same story today, thousands of years later, in the yearly festival of the Passover. After the resurrection, the disciples, still unsure about exactly what had happened, offered their proclamation, nevertheless, of the unbelievably good news of the resurrection. We want to proclaim the good news of our own liberation because it is good news, because we are relieved, because we are thankful, even and perhaps especially when we still don't realize the fullest implications of what has happened. As Norris says of Jack after he told her his story, "He felt good, but uneasy, I think, unsure of what to do next." I think of those apostles gathered in the upper room after Jesus' ascension, waiting on the Holy Spirit to arrive. They too felt good, but uneasy, unsure of what to do next. What happens after salvation? What happens after deliverance from evil? What happens when we have been liberated from the worst kinds of enslavement to sin and death and the powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? What do you do when your life has been given back to you? What could possibly come next except gratitude and hope and trust in the God of our salvation? For after we have been saved, after we have recognized God's gracious actions toward us in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in the season of Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ's gracious presence to the whole world. Like the Magi heading back to the east a different way, so they could avoid the wicked and jealous King Herod, once we have experienced salvation, rescue and deliverance, we can never be the same. We can never walk down the path that leads back to the Herods of this world. For it is then that we proceed into the unknown, which is the life of faith. We are not only saved from the world, from sin and death, we are saved for something as well. We all have a job to do. We have a clear purpose, as our collect says, to help the whole world perceive the glory of God's marvelous works. The glory of our salvation is just in this balance of what is known and what is unknown. What is known is that God calls us, each one of us, in different ways according to the gifts God has given us. And what is unknown is how we will respond to that call. We are, as Paul says in one of his most well-known metaphors, part of the body of Christ. And each part of that body has a calling and is necessary for the flourishing of the whole. And so, what form will your proclamation of the good news take? How will you show the glory of God's marvelous works to the world around you, to your family, your friends, your colleagues? How will you show God's glory in your life, your actions, your behaviors? How will you join Jesus in proclaiming the good news of God's salvation to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed? When we do, we will have found salvation. Amen.